Item one is a subdivision rezoning at lots 2 and 3, plan 45753 Pego Street and Rangers Drive under file DASZ 33 of 2013. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing and the following item will also be heard at the same time. Item 2, a variance at lot 2 and 3, plan 45152 Pego Street under file DAV 137683 of 2013D. I have Justin Zernowski as the applicant.
And I did have a PowerPoint presentation showing some concept elevations as well as our concept plan, but given the hour, if it's your preference, I'm happy to hand out copies rather than booting it up and So my name is Justin Zernowski, and I'm here from Shinneco Realty, representing the developer of Shops Cologne and Mile. Having presented the our vision for the development at the previous committee, the community committee asked for some clarification, specifically relating to how the sidewalks and infrastructure and landscaping would look for this development. And so what we asked Scatliff Miller Murray to do was prepare a concept plan showing some pedestrian connectivity as well as where we would envision having landscaping. And so we've found that where you've got these big parking lots, it's always nice to have some separation with them, and as a compromise, rather than having large plantings, that these diamond lanes are that you see on the bottom right of the first or the second page help with that. And then, consistent with our other developments, that we would have the landscape strip that were required along the front, and also landscaping, where it's possible along the main drive aisle in front of the stores. And we also would have the landscaping and the fence that we discussed at the rear of the site. We asked Scatliff for sort of what they would normally do for this type of situation, and you can see the two options on the bottom left of that concept plan. The one where there's the fence on the berm with planting on the back or the north side, and then they also showed their typical what you would potentially also expect, which is a fence with planting behind it. So what we previously proposed, this berm shows the concept of 1 foot. We proposed a 1.5 foot berm with a 6.5 foot fence, as well as landscaping to help mitigate the impacts on the residents to the north of this. And so, further to the instruction from the community committee, we prepared these two cross sections: the one with the berm and the fence, and the other with just the landscaping and the fence, to show you sort of what our vision was for that specific portion of the site. We also had some elevations that are typical of these types of developments, both of the smaller scale, which you would find near the cemetery, as well as the larger scale on the east and west sides, where you would have you know, consistent facades and well-done architectural features. The reason we didn't previously provide these is because these are really dependent on the tenants. And so, notwithstanding that we always strive to have first-class architectural features and are happy to participate in the plan approval process once we have those features and the tenants nailed down, these are just concepts of the work we've done in Winnipeg in the past. And then finally, we also included the provision for landscaping around the cemetery with a view to making sure that there's a transition between it with obviously some entranceways and an access easement so that the cemetery is respectively transitioned from our development and from our buildings to it. And I'd be happy to go over the kind of the gist of what I had previously provided at the previous hearing if the committee would like. But otherwise, I mean, we're conceiving of the same type of development with the pad sites up front, as well as the larger boxes on the east and west side, and then a smaller boxes near the cemetery. Then I'd also like to address some portions of the ACG report with a view to making sure that this is consistent both with what was provided for Kildonan Place and with what we think is justified in the situation for this situation. So for the zoning agreement, condition 2A IV, or 4, with a view to putting that berm and having the fence and the landscaping, we believe that a 10-foot unimproved strip as opposed to a 25-foot strip is justified. And the reason for that is we're giving land up on front for the right-of-way, and this is a really, really hard site already. I mean, we're paying to have reindeers go through. We're providing infrastructure improvements that are beyond what you would normally expect. And so what we're saying is we're happy to mitigate our impact on those neighbors with the fences designed by our landscape architects. But as part of that approval, we would ask that this be an economically feasible development, and as such have a 10-foot unimproved space at the north side bordering on the residential as opposed to the 25 feet that the public service has requested. We would also ask, just for a clarification in the zoning agreement conditions, that 2A Roman numeral 5, that the landscape strip required on the frontage, as we're also being required to put a sidewalk there, that it's clear that the landscape strip includes the sidewalk, because obviously we can't put landscaping and sidewalk in the same place. Turning to the ACG reports, we're dedicating approximately 1.18 acres towards this right-of-way. And at this point, the ACG report suggests that it would be at no cost to the city. As we're being required to pay our fair share, we think that it would be also fair to have the city pay their share in accordance with the development procedures bylaw. With regard to the traffic study, we've discussed this. Ultimately, we're happy to have the same condition that Kildonan Place does, that we'll attempt to participate in a traffic study relating to the auxiliary and the queuing lanes adjacent on Reindeers. But we wanted that to be clarified so that it's clear that it's the immediate vicinity. We also wanted to clarify point C4 on the ACG report. We're required to provide land drainage for the adjacent lands. Just to be clear that the adjacent lands is the Storageville lands, which currently drain onto the planned area, and not something else. We just want to have that clarity that, I mean, we understand there's land drainage from Storageville onto our site, and that we'd be responsible only for that land drainage as opposed to kind of the nebulous adjacent lands. And as to point C8, we had asked that we be responsible for 25% of the intersection at Reindeers and Peguis. This was dealt with both at KP was required to provide 50%, but I'd like to make the point, not only did GenStar come forward with a parcel on this corner, but us in KP, And so the fact that we're paying 50%, even if Costco wasn't required to, I imagine that KP was, or rather that GenStar was, for this this intersection. I mean, they're on it. So to have us pay 50% because we were last in doesn't seem to make sense to me. And then we've talked about the sidewalk and the active transportation pathway, but I'd like to make the point that there isn't an active transportation pathway either to the east or the west of our site, and so having it connect with a 3.5-meter path to nowhere isn't sensible. And so we would suggest we're prepared to give an easement for that 1.5-meter pathway, but that's all that should be taken. And then as to point C13, the reference to the active transportation pathway should be removed again, and it should be the same language that KP has, the sidewalk, if applicable, given that the sidewalk, I mean, to the extent it's extended and paid for, we're comfortable paying, but not to the extent that it already exists. And then finally, we would ask, with a view that KP's approval was subject upon their getting their building approval, that should there not be, should they not come forward within 5 years, that the city repay us for the Kildonan's Place share of the Reindeers and of the traffic works that we're being, that our intention is to front end as part of this development application, should the approvals be, as necessary. Subject to, you have any questions, I think that's the extent of my submission.
Did the public service have anything they wanted to add in terms of what they've heard? Or for clarification or anything?
The discussion about traffic signals at Reinders and Peguis.
Were there other developer obligations we're not aware of?
No. There were not. GenStar's intersection into their development is further north. There's basically just Costco land and GenStar land at that intersection, but no access at that point. And there was no obligation put in GenStar's application to contribute anything at that intersection.
Okay.
So that's why 50-50 is important.
They're gonna have to. That it wasn't in there.
Yeah.
And just to comment on Mr. Zarnowski mentioned that there are no AT paths to the east or to the west of this development, but they're certainly planned to be there.
We'll be connecting. Technically,
yeah.
Okay. What about clarification on this point you made about the sidewalk? On the, it was on your zoning agreement number 5A, Roman numeral 5. Does that include the 10-foot wide landscape strip shall be developed maintained along the south limit of the property fronting on Reinders? Does that include sidewalk or no?
That condition was taken from the previous zoning agreement condition from the storage level rezoning back in 2005. The intent of which being is that is 10 feet dedicated exclusively for landscaping. So the intent of the condition we're putting forward for your consideration would be that it excludes the sidewalk.
So it excludes. So is that part of the? Is that? Then help me out here in terms of. What's the public services requesting for easement? Is that part of the easement or not? Is that part of the 32-meter easement? 32-meter right-of-way, which includes easements?
So I think the intent of that landscape strip would be that it's not included within the easement.
It's not included, so there's another 10 feet on top of that. Okay, all right.
Again, since it's taken from the previous rezoning, as a previous condition of the previous rezoning.
Previous rezoning where?
From 2005. Again, this is a condition that we've...
Which one?
The rezoning that created the Storageville lands.
Oh, Storageville
they
lands.
They were required to provide 10 feet of landscaping along Reinders. So we're putting it forward just to be consistent.
If we're required to have an easement for a sidewalk on the south limit of the property and we're required to have 10 landscape unimproved we can't do both, right? It's inconsistent to say that we're required to have an unimproved landscape strip on the south end of the property as well as a sidewalk at the south end of the property.
Okay. I think I see what you're saying. Then I guess the condition would just have to be reworded to reflect the fact, I guess, that 10-foot landscape strip would begin at the north limit of the sidewalk. Does that make sense?
Well, you it's another meter and half we're losing.
Your application or your concept plan you gave us here on page 2, do you have a copy of it? Not before us in terms of the application is this alignment you have with Stapon. What is that? Is that covered off in the ACG?
Sorry, I can't really hear you.
This alignment here, this thing you've got kind of sweeps out to the west and goes down and connects to Stapon?
Yes.
Your application.
That actually exists.
That exists now?
Yeah.
So you're proposing to connect through to the private property to into the intersection? Is that?
That alignment, so you're talking the Stapon going north is privately owned land by Storageville. So that roadway was put in place.
So there's lights here.
Okay. Oh, I see. Okay.
So our proposal was to take the existing infrastructure and connect to it.
And so that's already been accounted for?
If we need to have an easement with Storageville, we can arrange that.
Okay. What about the traffic lights if you're heading southbound there? Okay. So the lights are there already in terms of, but would the traffic study not take that into consideration as well in terms of the need of that intersection? I don't know. Do you have any issue with regards to the issue of the, there's nobody registered in opposition, this is two for information, but with regards to the approach issue?
When we came forward, KP still hadn't, and so we hadn't considered the alignment towards whatever Rougeau will end up being, but certainly for us, having that alignment be, having Rougeau aligned with our development as a straight through entrance from Regent is very desirable, something we could accommodate and would be part of the traffic study, that realignment.
Okay. I don't have any other questions right now. So.
No. See if somebody else wants to speak.
Sure.
Lee Bogart, did you want to speak? Just registered. Dave Bowles, just registered. Peter Hoven. Just registered. Ivan? No? Ivan? No? Paul McNeil? No. Is there someone whose name I haven't called that wishes to speak? Thank you.
For the record, Mr. Chairman, Paul McNeil. And just an aside to Justin here, with respect to the land drainage sewer that will be installed within the Reinders right-of-way and eventually through the Genstar lands, there needs to be some capacity within that for part of the KP lands as well. The northern portion of the undeveloped lands requires some land drainage capacity. So in our discussions with the administration, we've wanted to ensure that that was included, but KP would pay for their share or their portion of whatever oversizing was required for their lands. And I think that was understood, but I just wanted to go on the record to make sure that's clear, that that's part of the intent.
They already have an amendment worked out to that effect. So
that's fine. Other than that, as I said previously, with respect to the land use, we support our client. Supports the land use that's being asked for. Thanks.
Is there anyone who wishes to speak on this application whose name has not been called? Seeing none.
So the applicant can return.
Director Justin Zarnowski from Shindico.
I don't have any other questions. I guess what you gave us here, Justin, is the site, the proposed elevations, or some of the concept elevations, I guess you call it that. In terms of, you know, your typical elevation here, what is your building height? Because you're asking for a reduced setback from 125 feet to 30, I believe it is, on the rear yards. And there's no height restrictions on C4. And I guess my concern is if you decide to come in and put up an 8-story commercial building of some sort or whatever on that site backing on, what sort of guarantee is there to the residents who back onto that property?
Fair concern. If I think we could be comfortable saying these buildings typically wouldn't be more than 45 feet, where it's a one-story commercial with architectural features, to have a condition added that said that within 125 feet of the residential property, you wouldn't have a height to exceed 45 feet.
What is your C4 property, the lot 2, which is the one backing onto the cemetery? How far is it, like how deep is the cemetery from the residential lands? How far is that? Do we have an answer to that?
That's probably about 100, and that might be even 150.
Yeah, because those lots to the north, those residential lots are 300, right?
400, I think, in most cases. They're 400. Big.
Okay, maybe less. Okay, so that would be beyond 125 feet.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And because it just looks like to me, like you said, 45 feet was the number you used? It looks, 45 feet seems high. I mean, I understand. Are you including like these, I don't know what you would call this, like these facades?
That's what I meant by architectural features. Is that
architectural features?
We've run into this before where the building height is to the max of everything.
Right.
And so where we have, somebody that wants to do an interesting facade like that, we run into issues where that architectural feature, notwithstanding that it's not a big impact on the site, that we have to go for variances for them. And so that's why I said, for these two-story buildings, 45 feet would be the maximum you would see.
Very rough, 165 feet there.
165. Very rough. Very rough. Okay. Councilor Berwadi measured it on Google Maps. So.
No.
Ivy, okay. All right. So I guess my question would be is, I mean, realistically, the building would be, what, 20 feet, 25 feet, and then the architectural features would be another 20 feet potentially? I mean, they go pretty big now.
Yeah, that would be the maximum.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not talking about two-story retail here.
No.
I mean, there just isn't the market for that here.
Right, yeah. So so it would be 20 feet, 25 feet?
I think you'd want to say 25 feet just so you could have a grocer with high ceilings.
Right, okay. Okay.
Don't specify not multiple floors, because if you have people, if you give them 45 feet, you could perhaps do it with three floors. That's somebody on the third floor looking to the backyards of the residents.
Well, I'm thinking 25 feet height, building height, excluding architectural features, including architectural features, 45. So it's specific to the architectural features. So.
Okay.
I don't know this issue with regards to the in the zoning agreement, the 10 feet like that. I'm not sure if that's a generic clause. I guess the issue I have is that the administration, the public service, is recommending 45 feet in the rear yard versus 30 feet, which is what you're saying.
Right. Yeah, it's adding it on. So it's 30. What our request was 30 feet on the east side. Box run from building to property line, and 10 feet of unimproved strip. What the public service added to that was an additional 15 feet of unimproved strip, which is to say that they want it was 45 total because of that additional 15 feet.
45 on the back.
So 45 building to property line, right. 25 feet unimproved, and what our request is and what the plan depicts is 10 feet unimproved, and then 30 feet from building to property line.
Whereabouts? On the rear yard?
On the east side.
On the east side?
Oh, sorry, the west side.
On the west side?
The west box run on the north side.
The north side?
Yeah.
Okay. So the north side is the one that you're requesting 30 feet instead of 45, which is what the public service is saying?
Yes.
And they're saying another 10 on the front?
Yes, and with a view of it being consistent, but if the sidewalks there won't be consistent anyway, it'll have to jog. Because if it's 10 feet along the property line right now and you put a sidewalk in, then the landscaping will jog anyway. So if the only real
landscaping would be on the sidewalk. It would be to the north of the sidewalk, what they're saying.
That's what I mean. So if the public service's argument is that it's for the sake of consistency, it won't be consistent in any event because it'll have to jog.
Not if it's an actual, not if it's an AT path, then it would
just... Well, if it was an AT path, we'd have to jog even more because the landscaping's to the north of whatever you put there.
Yeah. Okay. Your contention in terms of what you're proposing with the issue of between the easements and non-easements in terms of the amount of, right now, I'd say about a third, you know, to 30% of your property here, about a third. The 32-meter right-of-way has already been given up.
So our proposal for the right-of-way was for it to be 27 meters. And then the additional 1.5 meters that we're giving as an easement for the sidewalk along the frontage.
Right. No, but I guess what I'm getting at is if you on the westerly end, sorry, the easterly end, the 32 meters already exist, does it not?
It does.
Yeah. So we're talking about basically a piece, a sliver that is between 32 and 27, so 5 meters that's going to run, and it actually narrows as it approaches Stapon from what I can see.
The right-of-way will be consistent. It'll never be smaller than 27 meters. And then the jog around the east side of the cemetery is where it goes to 32.
Right.
But it's a dramatic change. It's a box.
Yeah. I don't think the public services, you have an issue with that, with the easement, the 5-meter easement, as long as it's a total of 8, that's
yeah,
the issue.
As long as it's a total of 32, yeah.
What we're proposing is a 1.5-meter easement with the right-of-way being a little bit tighter than the public service's optimal.
Yeah, it's a difference of 15 feet is what you're saying.
Yes.
So you want another 15 feet in the back and you want another 15 feet in the front.
Exactly, yeah.
Right.
With the view that we're giving right away for this 4 lanes of reindeers and paying for the additional costs on reindeers and that we're paying additional costs. So this is a trade-off that we're proposing and not something we're asking for as a throw-in. We're paying for 2 lanes of reindeers along the entire frontage for a portion of Peguis, for the sidewalks, and the entire cost, or 50% of the cost of the signal at Peguis and reindeers, as well as at the one that would be serving our side of Rougeau and reindeers.
Yeah. Okay. You saw what we did. I know a concern you had raised. You didn't mention it today, and I'm assuming because we addressed it to a certain extent. You had mentioned last month you wanted some predictability or some idea of when the city was going to pay you back for the other 2 lanes on reindeers. But I'm assuming that what you heard in terms of the previous application, that maybe the concern you had is...
The concern is, and I thought I brought it up, on if KP...
Maybe I missed it.
If they don't come forward within 5 years, what we would like to see is to have the certainty of the city then coming forward and paying KP's share. I mean, we're doing this on good faith, because it's needed by the community. It's not a project where we have tenants, where we're shovel ready to go. It's a project where we're coming forward and doing this because it's in the best interest of the community. And with a view to that, while we're prepared to come forward and put those costs, to front those costs, we need to have some predictability about it and to say, if we come and do this service, I mean, we're effectively lending the city money, that we eventually have a prospect of being paid back.
Would you be fine with 6 years? Puts it beyond our capital budget.
I could do 6 years.
At an interest rate acceptable to the city.
Which is usually zero. But
which I'm sure you could get.
So, okay. I guess, yeah, that's just the concern I have. It wasn't an issue in terms of the last application because of the fact that those are 2 lanes they'd be doing anyway, right? And we're only asking 2. They were asking 4 years, so I don't see what you're saying is anyway. Yeah. I guess, and I wouldn't have an issue if it's beyond, so you've got lots, just let's think it through here. You've got lots up to seven, right? Seven lots on the property, or eight?
Seven.
So if we were to place a height restriction on lots one and three, and not a height restrictions on lots four, five, two, six, and seven, would that be, I'm using your lots.
The subdivision plan?
Yeah.
If it's possible, my strong preference would be to say, to give a fee, just because should we come forward, I mean, this subdivision plan is designed with the pads in mind. If we were going to build something on the front edge, that we'd need more parking, and so that we would end up having to do a different, it would well end up being likely on parcel one or parcel three. And so to have that height restriction on the parcels rather than saying it's 125 feet from the residential property barrier kind of ties our hands.
Yeah. I guess I'm kind of hesitant to, 125 feet seems low in terms of that restriction. I don't know.
If it came to be 150 feet, I'd rather see that than have it be lots one and three.
Okay. Okay. You know that the setback that we gave in terms of Storageville, which is to the west, was 45, I believe?
Yes. Okay. And having discussed these storage-type uses, my impression is that the planning department views them as more noxious than a retail development, which I think would account for that setback versus what we're asking for here.
And that allows, the 30-foot allows for what right now?
It allows for a 10-foot undeveloped setback with the concept was a 1-foot berm, but we could do a 1.5-foot berm and a 6.5-foot fence with landscaping, and then it also has loading on the back.
And you know that, I think it was at Storageville, was an 8-foot fence that we use, or what did we use there? So Storageville was an 8-foot fence, you know that.
Without a variance, though, 6.5-foot fence is the maximum. Was my impression.
Yeah, actually, I can clarify that.
Recommendation was 6.5 feet on this. Well, it still is. Last public hearing, there was a gentleman who came out and addressed that matter and pointed out a clause in the zoning bylaw that actually does allow for additional fence height where it's being used to screen commercial development from residential properties. So, in fact, we can go to 8 feet tall for a fence without necessitating a variance.
It's news to me. The taller the fence, the deeper it has to go into the ground, and the harder it is to put up, the more expensive. But if it was to maintain that 10-foot undeveloped strip at the back as opposed to a 25-foot strip, if that was the trade-off, to say instead of the 25% that the public service has asked for, if it's 10% with a 30-foot setback like we requested, we could certainly price out an 8-foot fence.
Yeah. Now, the berm is how high?
What we propose is 1.5 feet. It's 3 feet at Storageville. With a 10-foot undeveloped strip, though, the grade doesn't work for a 3-foot berm?
It's 1:4 is the ratio. So, okay.
And so that's why we could do with a little bit of stone a 1.5-foot berm, but our strong preference would be a 1-foot berm, because that requires less maintenance and would be pretty much permanent.
But you can do 1.5 based on the...
We'd have to lay down stone, and then so with an 8-foot fence and laying down the stone, I mean, it gets pretty expensive.
No, the 1.5-foot berm, you could do that on what kind of berm can you get out of 10 feet? You can get more than that.
1.1, like 1.25.
Okay. But I thought you said you're proposing a 1.5-foot berm.
We would have a strong preference for a 1-foot berm. If we're doing an 8-foot fence, I think that's reasonable, because we're getting the extra cost now on the fence as opposed to having put stone in the berm.
Okay. The public service is pretty, Public Works isn't here, but they're quite intent on this, on the right-of-way being 32 meters, including that includes your easement, right?
What we're proposing is a 27-meter right-of-way with a 1.5-meter easement on our property.
Right.
We've had it analyzed by our traffic engineers to make that 27-meter easement work, and it requires the median to be the limit of what they of what Stantec says is possible, which is 4.5 meters, and the snow clearing to be 2.5 meters on either side of the boulevard, as opposed to the 3 meters, which is the optimum the city asks for. What we're asking for is, we're squeezing this as tight as we can because this is it's a tight development. So we're asking for some creativity from Public Works, guided by our traffic engineers, who are certifying that this is an appropriate design.
Okay, because I haven't heard of the 4.5 meter. For example, you mentioned 4.5 meter median.
It would require some special design, safety curbs specifically, but it is possible.
Is it possible? Have we done it?
I don't know how that affects, deceleration lanes, turning lanes, that sort of stuff.
You keep about a meter of median where there's turning or deceleration lanes.
Has this been run public? Have you run it past Public Works? Have you?
We had an initial discussion with them on the 27-meter easement with the 5-meter median.
Right.
Which required the KP to give a 1.5-meter easement. Since with the discussions we've had with KP and with Stantec doing their analysis, they've come to they believe that we could accommodate it, but they haven't had a chance to talk to Public Works about it.
Who could accommodate it?
That you can accommodate the sidewalk and the four-lane right-of-way within the two sidewalks and the four-lane right-of-way within the 27-meter right-of-way and the 1.5-meter easement on our land.
Now, putting that aside, the issue of the 4.5-meter median, how would that, was that discussed with Public Works? Because that wouldn't really involve Kelowna in place at all.
No, they discussed a 5-meter median, and we said, is there any place else we could look with a view to having discussed with KP, and KP saying, we're not prepared to give an easement along our land. And so that was their professional opinion, but they hadn't discussed it with Public Works at this time.
The predicament I have is that Public Works is, they are saying, we acquired this right-of-way, 32 meters, this is what we've acquired in the past, this is what we're asking as a standard. I hear what you're saying in terms of the payback. I think that's a reasonable request. And it's just, I just don't know. I can understand what you're saying in terms of the 10-foot berm on top, or not 10-foot, the 10-foot landscape. Something to work out there, I'm sure. But in terms of the, 27 versus 32, or 27 plus 1.5, so 28.5 versus 32, right? This is what we're talking about, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What we're trying to do is come up with a creative solution so this development works financially for us and is functional for the city and works with the infrastructure being put in around the area.
Yeah. No, I know it's a tough one, but I'm just reluctant to, become an engineer, even though we haven't hesitated doing that before. He just kind of woke up Mr. Jasper. But anyway, so give me the ring. No. Anyway, I just, I'm just hesitant redesigning and doing that kind of.
Well, it wasn't me drawing on the back of a napkin. We hired Brad Cook, a reputable traffic engineer from Stantec, to do this design. So it's not us coming and saying we think this will work and just throwing it on to the city. We did hire a traffic engineer to do this analysis for us to make this project work.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. That's the problem is, kind of coming to mind. The issue is there's twofold, right? It's I don't know about this 4.5-meter median, but the issue is really they're stuck on the whole snow clearing thing, right? The whole snow storage issue. Because they're viewing it, we're going to have to haul away snow. If the boulevard is less than what the standard boulevard is, we're going to have to haul away snow. If the boulevard is less than what the standard boulevard is, Then our snow plows that go down the sidewalks, you know, will have an issue because there's not enough of an easement to protect if they wander off, right? They'd like to have a small one there. So that's the issue. That's the issue. It's snow. It's all snow related. I mean, if we didn't live in a snow climate, if we didn't have a winter climate, it wouldn't be an issue. We could tighten it up.
And with right? with the snow clearing, what we're asking for is a foot and a half on either side. So you're still maintaining a 2.5 meter boulevard.
For the sidewalk.
And then the sidewalk.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we tried to maintain that 3 meter right away for, or the 3 meter boulevard for snow clearing, which is the optimal that the city wants. But ultimately, we said, is there any way we can, you know, live with this? And ultimately, I mean, it's Public Works that has to live with it, not us. And so the ask is for 2.5 meters on either side.
Okay. Okay. I don't have any other questions. Was there anything else? Did you guys have something? You're waving at Kim.
I can provide some clarification to their submission on the ACG report, and there are some worthwhile minor amendments. Unless you have some in mind there.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Well, addressing the ACG report, A1 about dedicating land for the right-of-way, the development agreement parameters are very clear that land for other than arterial streets, you know, shall be dedicated. So there's really no option there. And they're amenable to a condition similar to what was applied to the previous application for the traffic study. So we can incorporate that wording about geometric design and those things you spoke of there. And land drainage have a recommended clause amendment or addition to the clause, and it considers two things that others may benefit, as Mr. McNeil had suggested, and would allow for recovery from them. So it may not be just Storageville and Shindico's land that they're building the land drainage for, but there would be recoveries from others. So, I would add to the end of Clause 4 a new sentence: consistent with the development agreement parameters, the city shall endeavor to recover a cost share of the above land drainage works that are deemed to benefit adjacent privately owned lands as a condition of approval of the subdivision.
Again, when we say adjacent lands, will we be able to say Storageville and Kildonan Place? I mean, there's a lot of adjacent lands. And I think the city's intention for the LDS on OMI is to run it through OMI. But I'd want some just, yeah. I don't want to end up responsible for land drainage on OMI. So if we only mean Storageville and KP, why don't we say Storageville and KP?
What is water and waste referring to? Do we know?
This is a very standard clause. The wording they have in there, really, whatever is deemed to benefit, like the applicant will have to, you know, submit a engineering drawings when they build this stuff, and water and waste is going to determine, you know, what the benefits are and where. I think in this instance, it probably is only Kildonan Place and the Storageville lands, you know.
The other lands are accounted for?
Yeah.
Do we know?
I'm not sure. Further west.
In terms of Olive Garden and
Olive Garden,
and the Chamois?
The Chamois. I'm not sure how they're accounted for.
What are you're concerned about lands to the north?
Yeah, I'm concerned about the lands on Olmi and Ravel, you know, that land.
Yeah.
No, that's subject to that other
separate land drainage system. It's not coming through your property or going to Rangers. It's not.
So if that, or could we even say just land fronting on Rangers then? I mean, just something like I worry for a living, and I'm worried about this.
We do. Land fronting on Rangers, is that something, wording, that verbiage that we could accept, Kim?
Great. Well, it's as long, yeah. I guess another concern is how their lot grading, their site grading, will affect the rear yards on Almy. I did hear at the last public hearing when a gentleman from Almy spoke up, and he indicated the general flow of drainage was to the south, which would be crossing that.
But wouldn't those lands, just speaking to that, I mean, if those are 300, 400 foot deep lots, I think that 300 is, those lands would be opened up, you know, if they ever decided to, and the city's kept the option there, if they ever decided to subdivide their lands and drive a road through there, that would be the time when they would deal with their drainage issues. Like, I mean, to ask somebody, because of their shopping development, to drain other lands far and beyond seems to be somewhat unreasonable.
Well, I don't. You can look at it from the perspective that this development is imposing, you're putting a plug in something that traditionally went that way. You know, I think.
But it only went that way by accident. There's no drain there. There's no swale that I know of running through your property.
I think it's the natural grade of the land. Really.
Well, I don't know if there's anything natural there. Those lands have been.
Yeah.
They're low lying. They've been. I know Phil has been hauled into there too in some parts of it. Like it's not the same land.
I
used to play there as a kid, so I kind of.
Well, a concern would be that this development basically cuts off drainage, and your phone starts ringing next spring about flooding in people's backyards that wasn't there before as a result of this development.
But how would this pipe potentially drain those lands?
Well, in a more traditional, you know, full-scale residential development, catch basin leads are extended to the rear of property lines and even adjacent properties to pick up features like this. There's a lot grading design done. This is a little different in that it's a commercial property, backing onto residential. But there's no doubt in my mind, if these were single-family lots or residential lots being created along Rangers, that there would be a requirement for the developer to extend catch basins to that back lot line to pick up the drainage from their property.
That's approved by the Director of Waste and Water already, won't it?
That'll be subject to plan approval, yeah. Well, your engineering drawings and your site plan approval may well require that. So regarding the overall drainage, properties, lands fronting on Rangers works.
Oh, it does. Okay.
I mean, we're not picking up drainage from Almy, from the front yards of Almy, that's for sure.
The land will subdivide in the future. There's no doubt in my mind because the value of land will go up. And anyway, okay. All right. So I mean, that was the. I just needed an answer on that. So, and as long as that's the case, then I have no problem with that, Mr. Raban. So, all right. Let's continue.
Still not clear to me who's constructing what it's. I think it's become apparent that Kildonan Place will extend the sidewalk on the south side of the right-of-way to the east, to the east limit of their application at least.
They're going to do the whole thing.
What are which clause are you referring to? Which number?
Sorry, no. I apologize. Let me retract that. Justin is right. If you're going in there to construct the right of way, and you'll construct the sidewalk in there, and
you'll be doing the work as well. You will be putting the sidewalk on the south side, and then that'd be part of it. Okay.
And what is going to go on the north side? Is it an AT path or is it a sidewalk?
Well, let's get to the next. I mean, I want to know what you're recommending in terms of amendments here. So, we know what Public Works is saying. So,
well, that's about what I have.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So you heard the discussion in terms of reindeers and Peguis, and I guess you heard the discussion in terms of reindeers and the future private approach. We amend your zoning agreement to recognize that the plan has to, your site plan has to include the private approach issue, and then deal with the through the development agreement the cost. So it'd be a question of who goes first, who pays for it, and then you'd be. You know, again, I'm saying in terms of the payback there as well, like that would be part of it, right? So
exactly. And so we would, and I think we already have payback language in the work for the traffic study, which referred to in our ACD report. And so I think we're comfortable with that in terms of what we need to do and how that'll be shared.
Yeah, they also, I have some amendments with regards to the existing, again, the north-south right-of-way tying into, you know, having it a right-angle approach. So
that you wanted us to pay for? Wasn't that...
What I'm saying is let's say you're putting all the roadworks in, right? That be done at that time. However, I think we addressed it through Killen Place's application, tying it into the easement issue, that the road works to the south would be their work. You know, the challenge is going to be here, Justin, like we were trying to sort out, you heard us talking, is, you know, to make sure that you don't have a situation where you're doing the road and then you've got this curved road coming into it or something, right? I mean, you just can't have that.
Our problem will be is that we're not going to be able to force them to do anything on their land.
On their land, exactly, which is why we tied it back to the easement on the Killen Place, so...
But isn't the easement only granted as a condition of their getting their zoning agreement? So you're putting the cart before the horse, right? You can't say that the easement will protect you if they don't do the zoning agreement, because if they don't do the zoning agreement, you don't get the easement. So I don't think we can be required to do anything with Rougeau other than, I mean, throw control strips down or negotiate with them as to an alignment.
Right.
And then that forces them to come to the table. I mean, we don't want
that. So we might have to have an amendment before it goes to the Planning Committee on Killen Place. So we'll have to look at that. Make a mental note, Councillor. Okay. All right. Okay. I don't have anything else, so...
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thanks. So, that other issue has to be looked at. That kind of issue with KP, you have to address it when it goes forward. See, he has to take your phone on when I'm on and when he's off. Okay. All right. Make a mental note. Okay. I'm going to move some clauses here. All right, I'm going to move that the public hearing with respect to this application be concluded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Move that the delegations be